It's always the way to work this out, huh?
Do we need to
get ready? No, don't. Joyce, what did you have for your devotions today? No. good answer. I want to tell you, when I was 12 years old, I went to my pastor, and this is in North Plainfield, New Jersey, and we went to this little IFCA church at the very end of our block. We could walk to church. You know what IFCA is, right?
I fight Christians anywhere.
That actually is pretty true. Independent Fundamental Churches of America. Actually, John MacArthur was part of that group, and then he did his Lordship Salvation thing, and everything blew up. And anyway, we won't go down that road. So I went to my pastor, and I said, I was 12 years old. I said, I think God wants me to be a preacher. He said, really? He said, okay, you're preaching next Sunday night. I said, really? He says, yep. You're preaching Sunday night. So I spent the whole week. I had one little commentary I took out of our little church library, which is like in a room like back there, and it was on the book of Ephesians. So I did some reading, and I got my notes all written down. And back then in those days, we didn't have these nice plexiglass kind of things, you know. We had the big wooden pulpits. So it was a Sunday night service, and it was in the summer. And about this many people, no, probably about this many people were there, including my mom and dad. And the pastor introduced me, and I got my Bible and my notebook, and I went up on the platform, and I got behind the pulpit, and everyone's going, where is he? Where is he? Because I couldn't even see over the pulpit, and they couldn't see me. And I looked at the pastor, and I said, what do I do? Well, back in those days, this will really kind of date me, back in those days, we used to have our milk delivered to our home. And we had milk crates. Do you remember those days? Some of you people do. The old people sit over here, I guess. Anyway, so he says, wait. And the parsonage was just 50 feet from the church. So he, pastor got out, ran down, got his milk crate, brought it back, put it behind the pulpit. I climbed up on it. I could see everybody. They could see me, and I preached my heart out. I knew I had at least 45 minutes worth of stuff. I was done in about 7 minutes. And the people clapped. Because the pastor said, okay, church is dismissed. They'd never had that happen on a Sunday night before. And all that to say, I'm a lot older now. And I'm still short. I don't need, thankfully, because of these nice plexiglass things, I don't even need a box to stand on. But I can preach a whole lot longer than 5 minutes. As you found out this morning, I'm really sorry for the pain that I inflicted on you. But I'm not sorry about the truth, the things that we talked about. At least I talked about, and hopefully you thought about praying. And I wanted to give you an illustration or two about this whole prayer thing. Back in 1998, I was pastoring a church in the desert in California. There's Palm Springs on one side of the I-10 freeway. There's a town called Desert Hot Springs across the freeway. Most people called it Desperate Hot Springs. Some people referred to it as Poor Man's Palm Springs. And that was where I got to preach. And while I was there back in 1998, I received a letter from a branch of Campus Crusade for Christ. And it was, Dear Pastor Lombardi, your name has been recommended to us, and we would like to invite you to go to Russia to teach in one of our international leadership academies. And I'm reading this thing, and I'm going, what? This has got to be a mistake. I don't even know any, I don't know anything about this. So I finally got enough courage to call the guy up there. And I said, yeah, this is Pastor Lombardi. You sent me a letter. I think you have the wrong person. You have the wrong address. And he said, wait, are you a pastor? I said, yes, sir. He says, do you like to teach? I said, I love to teach. He says, you're the man. I said, what? How do you even know who I am? He says, well, we have a missionary in Russia whose parents attend the church there in the desert where you pastor. They're snowbirds from Oregon. And they recommended you to their son, who recommended you to us, and so we want you to go to Russia. Now, I said, well, I'll pray about it. Now, you have to understand something. Some of you in my generation might understand this. I grew up in grade school. I mean, during grade school, having what we used to call air raid drills. Do any of you remember that at all? Okay. Where the sirens would go off, and all of us kids would have to get up from our chairs and go to the edges, the walls of the room, and get down like this against the walls in case there was a bombing. And you wouldn't even understand any of that. And back in those days, I remember seeing on my black and white TV Nikita Khrushchev take his shoe off and slam it on that podium there in the United Nations and say, "We will bury the United States." As a little kid, I was afraid. I was afraid of Russia. As an adult pastor, I was still afraid of Russia. And I said, "I don't know. I don't know if I could do this." And anyway, I didn't say anything to my wife for a couple of weeks. And I remember one night, we were in bed, the lights were out, we were ready to go to sleep, and I said, "Sweetheart, yeah? Are you awake?" "Yeah, I am now." I said, "I have to tell you something." "What?" "I got this letter from a branch of Campus Crusade, and they'd like me to go to Russia to teach students." This was during the days of Gorbachev and Glasnost and Perestroika, a new opening in Russia. But when he did that, you know who went into the opening through the opening? All of the cults. And they were creating havoc among the Russian people. And the cults were growing faster than any churches. And what they desperately needed was to have men come and train pastors to deal with this in Russia. So my wife said, "What'd you say?" And I said, "I don't think I'm the person." And she said, "I think you should go. How long will you be gone?" And I said, "Well, about 3 weeks." "Well, that's good. Why don't you go?" I said, "I don't know." And she says, "Well, why don't you talk to the elders?" Now, the deal about this is because the Russians, the economy was so bad then. This is just before Putin took over, too, by the way, that I needed to raise $5,000. The airfare was over $1,000. I had to bring $2,000 to give to students so they could afford to come to the school. They didn't have enough money to do that. Then I had to bring money for books and supplies, and then for my own lodging and meals and stuff there. So I had to raise $5,000. So she said, "Why don't you talk to the elders?" I said, "Okay." So as I mentioned this morning, these men prayed every Tuesday morning. They were praying men. And I said to them one Tuesday morning, I said, I have to talk to you about something when our prayer time is over. I said, "Okay." And I had a little video that they had sent me, a promotional video. So prayer time was over, and they said, "Okay, what do you want to tell us?" And I said, "Well, I want you to see this video." And they played this video of this asking for pastors to come to teach in Russia and prepare men for the ministry. So it was over, and they said, "So, what do you want?" And I said, "Well, they asked me to go and teach there." "Really?" I said, "Well," they said, "do you want to go?" And I said, "Well, I probably shouldn't go. I shouldn't leave the work here and stuff." And they said, "No, I think it would be good for you to go. We think it would be good for us, too, if you went." So they said, "Leave the room. We'll talk about it." Okay, so I left the room, and about 5 minutes later, they called me back, and they said, "Pastor, we've talked about this and prayed about it. We think you should go to Russia." I said, "I know, but where am I going to get $5,000 from?" And they said, five men said, "You've already got $1,800. I said, "What do you mean?" They said, "We've all committed ourselves to help you go. And we will announce it on Sunday to the congregation." So they announced it on Sunday to the congregation. They took a love offering. It was $12,000. They said, "You're going for at least 3 years." I said, wow. Now, this is really new, a whole new experience for me. I remember flying into Sheremetyevo Airport in Moscow. And when I got out, have any of you been in Russia, in Moscow? The airport, it was like a dungeon. And there was these armed guards all over the place. It was really dark and long lines, you know, for passport control and then customs and all that. I was scared spitless. I'd never done anything like this. I was all by myself. I remember telling Wynn before I left, the life insurance policies are here, and here's my last will and testament. No, I didn't say that. But I didn't think I was going to come back. God blessed so much. He blessed me so much. I went back 5 times. And now there are 100 people running all over the former Soviet Union. I taught Bible study methods. I taught them how to study the Bible. And I said, I want you to take this and teach other people so you can feed yourselves from God's word. All that to say that every time I went, I had prayer partners. And we were just starting with the internet back then and email and all that. And I had prayer requests for every day. And I knew I had people praying for me. And God blessed that 5 years I went. And two of the years, my wife joined me. And we had a blast. I learned enough Russian. In Moscow, there's 11 million people. Most of them go anywhere on the subway. They call it the metro. I learned enough Russian to be able to get on the metro and go all over Moscow underground, reading the street signs, figuring out the letters. Oh, yeah, that's the street I want. I'll get off there at that stop. But God so blessed that ministry. Here's one of the blessings of Facebook. My former students from years ago are my friends on Facebook. And I still get to hear what God is doing through them and in them. But a lot of that I have to chalk back up to the prayer support of the people that I had in that church. They prayed and they gave. And they were a blessing to me. What we're talking about this morning, or trying to at least communicate, is the need for people to come around their leaders and to pray for them. And I know that you people understand that. But sometimes it's good for all of us to be reminded of something that we should be doing. Now, this morning we were in the Old Testament, but let me get over here on this side of this. Sorry for my back to you. Take your Bibles and open them just for a minute to Romans chapter 15. Some time ago, I was going through the Pauline epistles primarily, and I was struck by the fact that Paul, writing to these different churches, some of them that he had planted, others that he hadn't planted but he had a relationship with, he asked them to pray for him. So if you're in Romans 15, look at verse 30. I think it's verse 30. Okay, this is the New King James Version. Okay? Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. Paul understood that he needed the prayer support of these people. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6. I'll show you another example. Ephesians 6, verses 18 and 19. Many of you are familiar with this passage, the context is the armor of God. And Paul ends that by telling the people to pray. Let me start with verse 17, where the sentence begins in this translation. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, verse 19, and for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Over to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. Keep going to the right. Colossians 4. Look at verse 3. Let me start with verse 2. Colossians 4, 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Keep going to the right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 25. It's very simple. It's very short. Brethren and sisters, pray for me. Pray for us. Pray for us. All right? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Paul longed for, wanted the prayer support of the people that he had ministered to. In some cases, he had planted churches there. He knew that he needed that. And Pastor Joe needed that and needs it. And Pastor Paul from this church needs it. And the whole thing, what I was trying to do is to help all of us understand together how important this is. You know, it's one thing to say, oh, I'm praying for you, but are you really praying? And what are you praying? Sometimes you say, well, what am I supposed to pray for my pastor? He's praying, pray for open doors for him. Paul wanted that, open doors so he could preach the gospel. It's interesting now that I've been, I guess, benched for a while. For income, I became a cashier at Walmart in South Lincoln, which has been an interesting experience for me, especially as a preacher, because I like to preach to everyone who comes through the line, and I know I can't really do that. But it's interesting how God gives me opportunities, and because I know people are praying, I'm much more aware of them. So these two ladies come through, and they've got these shopping carts filled with stuff. I found out later that it was for VBS. I think it was for Lincoln Brand Church, in fact. But these two ladies come through, and I'm going, oh, man, oh, this is going to be a job. And one, while I'm starting to scan the things, this one gal is going, da-da-da-da-da, and I said, stop. What is that? And she looked at me, and she says, well, that is called blessed assurance. And I said, well, let me tell you something, man. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of blood of God, washed in born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. And they kind of both beamed. And we had this little thing going because they knew I was a believer and they were believers. And I said, what is all this stuff? Oh, this is for a Vacation Bible School. So we went on like that. And it's been really interesting how, as I pray for open doors now, and that was with believers, but I've had some guys come in, you know, they got these big crosses hanging down, and they go, I go, hey, what? I like your cross. What's that all about? And so I said, you know, I said, I got one too. I like to wear it too, because it reminds me of Jesus and what he did for me. I get that much in. And then I keep scanning the stuff real fast. Even, I guess, a former pastor needs prayer, too. And your pastor and your church leaders need prayer. So that's what this whole thing is about. So, very quickly now, what I did some time ago, I thought, well, you know, what do we pray for pastors? Well, what really do we pray for? Well, we pray for their family. We pray that he preaches a short sermon. We pray that... No. I went through 1 and 2 Timothy. Because Paul, of course, was Timothy's mentor. Timothy was his protege, as it were. His disciple. And as I started reading through that book, I thought, wow, there are things here that would become great prayer requests that we could pray for young guys like the Timothys in our church. And there are things that we could pray for the older guys like the Pauls, like the Pastor Pauls in our church. So I came up with this idea. I was thinking about Aaron and Hur and how they supported Moses. And I said, I want to create an Aaron Hur prayer team. That I want people on a team that will pray for me, and I want to give them requests for me that come right out of the Bible. And I want to give them at least one request for every day. So 30 requests every month. And if you have 31 days, you can pray all 30 of them. And I put it down on paper, and I made copies for you guys. And you could just, this is not like an official thing of the board, because I don't have the authority to do that. But I can ask you to put this brochure in your Bible or something that you read every day. Hopefully it's your Bible. And pray for your pastor. So let's pass these out really quickly. And let me see. Here. Oh, yeah, you guys. Now, Chuck, you have a few more in case we don't have enough. Just go ahead and pass those out. I think I have about 20-some there. Okay. These aren't folded yet, are they? No. But do you need any more? Okay. There you go. They're not folded yet, but they can take them. And just take a look at this. And, did I give my copy away? May I have a copy, please? Okay, I'll give it back to you. Sorry. Wait, you have an extra one? Here, I'll take one of these then. There you go. Thank you, sir. Okay. And then the rest of them we could fold here, Chuck, and leave them on the back table. Okay? So, what day is today? The second. Okay. So, I said, pray that he, and I said, when I say she or they, I'm talking about ministry leaders, okay, other leaders in the church. Pray that he, she, they will, number two, manage his marriage and family well. Okay, and that's something, you know, sometimes we take a lot of things for granted. But you heard some of the stories and the statistics this morning about guys who don't do it that well. Maybe they would if they had people in their church praying for them and being sensitive to them, you know. And maybe there's a time when you have to say, Pastor, you need to take a load off your feet here. Now, in Moses' case, they put a stone there and said, sit down and relax. We'll hold your arms up. You might say, here, go out for the weekend. Have a good time with your wife. Just you need some time away, whatever. But you can be at least praying this, that your leaders will manage their marriages and their families well. You go all the way down this list. There's one for every day of the month. And like I said, if you get to day 31 in those months, pray for anyone you want. And I know that you say, well, these aren't really like personal things. Like, you know, pray for Pastor Paul's grandkids. Okay, you can write that somewhere else on there to remind yourself. All those very personal things. Requests that he might give you, like when he's going to have a family reunion, you can pray for that, whatever. But I would like to encourage you to keep this handy. It means so much to me to know that when people are praying for me, that they're going through this kind of a thing. And basically, the Apostle Paul in 1 and 2 Timothy hits about all the main areas you can think of. That he prayed that they keep themselves pure, that they care for themselves physically as well as spiritually. Number 12, that they're content with what he has. Reminds me of the church that said to God, when they called the pastor, God, you keep them humble, we'll keep them poor. Not, that's not the kind of prayer to pray. But, pray that he'll be able to deal with situations of life. That he'll be strong in the grace that's in Christ. That he'll be able to disciple other reliable men. And on and on and on. You're praying the word of God right here for your pastor and for your leaders. Don't you think that's pretty powerful? You know? Just think about that. I mean, God has blessed the ministry of this man here for how long has he been here? 26, 27 years? More? Is that it? About right? Wow. Maybe it'll be another 26. I don't know. I think Jesus will come before then. And I do really think, as I kind of alluded to this morning, we are headed for some really tough times as the evangelical church in this country. And we can't play ostrich. And just say, Or like, remember Sergeant Schultz from Hogan's Heroes? I see nothing. No. You better wake up, open your eyes. There's stuff going on now. It's going to be hard. We're going to need to hold each other up in prayer. Okay, so that's my plea. That's my message for tonight. You got it? You think this is good? Okay, thanks for showing that with so much conviction. That's what I like about you guys. No, I know. I'm just teasing you. So, you're going to do prayer time now? Okay, you can when you do your groups, you can even take this and you can even pray some of these things for pastor as well as for your missionaries and other ministries that you know that are happening that you're familiar with. This will be powerful. Something's going to happen, the old song says, when the people get down and pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Amen.